Cut off. Cut off. Cut off. Cut off. Cranky. Nee, cut off. Cut off.
V Libanonu nič novega. V petek je na zaprti seji libanonskega parlamenta libanonska vojska predstavila načrt za razorožitev oboroženega krila stranke Hezbolah. Nalogo je na začetku avgusta podala libanonska vlada zaradi pritiskov Združenih držav Amerike, ki si že dlje časa želijo razorožitev oboroženega gibanja. Čeprav načrt še vedno uradno ni objavljen, pa je v medije pronicalo nekaj podrobnosti o tem, kaj naj bi obsegal. O tem, kaj je znanega o načrtu, nam pove sogovorec Anis Germani, zdravnik in politični analitik iz Libanona.
The plan that the army presented to the government is still secret. It was not published, but there were some pieces of it that were leaked. We still don't know how the whole process of disarmament would occur, but from what we understood, it's that the army threw the ball back into the political court, and they said that an agreement with Hezbollah, a political agreement with Hezbollah, has to be reached over disarmament. And the disarmament plan was divided into phases, but the phases were tied to Israel abiding by the ceasefire agreement that was ratified entered into effect in November. So in practice, since Israel is not abiding by the ceasefire, this plan has no deadlines and could not be implemented at all.
Sicer skriven načrt je v javnost pronical predvsem zato, da bi pomiril interne napetosti v državi. Tako je bila zlasti razkrita vsebina načrta, ki nakazuje na to, da načrt ne predvideva agresivnega odnosa med Hezbolahom in vojsko. Več sogovorec.
They were mostly leaked to the public via the press. I mean, there was a lot of tensions in Lebanon over the issue of disarmament. So, of course, I mean, the politicians and the army that didn't want to put themselves in a position where they might be stoking any kind of like sectarian violence and unnecessary forms of aggression, they leaked these essential parts of the plan in order to calm the situation down. And I think there were other information that also leaked before, and that is that the army general Rudolf Haykal, he also threatened multiple times that he might resign if he's being pressured to issue some kind of a more aggressive form of disarmament plan. So there were, and he refused obviously categorically to place the army in a confrontation with Hezbollah. So there were all of these, I would say, like calming domestic forces in Lebanon that sought to keep a lid on the situation in order to avoid any kind of sectarian infighting in Lebanon.
Odločitev o razorožitvi Hezbolaha je bila tako skrita.
It is important to understand how we got to the point of the disarmament plan. So it was more of a rushed decision by the Salam government on August 5th, and they pushed the so-called American paper. I mean, even they call it the American paper, that was proposed by Tom Barak, the U.S. special envoy to Lebanon. And then they were faced with the impossibility of actually implementing it. I mean, the government was insisting that some kind of political and diplomatic solution can be reached with Israel.
Poročilo je osnovano na predpostavki, da se bodo izraelske sile držale premirja, ki so ga s Hezbolahom podpisale novembra lani. Toda sionistična vojska pričakovano ni izpolnila svojega dela dogovora.
In the multiple visits that Tom Barak has done to Israel in order to try to find this at least like some kind of concession from Israel, Israel has refused every time to give any kind of concession. So they are continuously striking Lebanon on a daily basis in multiple areas in the south and in the Bekaa. Every single day there's a strike. So Tom Barak proposed to them that if they might at least try to diminish the amount of strikes they're doing, they said no. He proposed maybe if they could let go some of the hostages they have taken from Lebanon, they said no. If they might withdraw from specific areas in Lebanon that they have illegally occupied, they also said no. So effectively, the American paper is tied to Israel also having some kind of a diplomatic agreement that would reach to this resolution.
Ker je ameriško poročilo tako že v svojih izhodiščih popolnoma nemogoče, je za libanonsko vlado postalo nujno, da od njega odstopi, ne da bi uradno opustila mirovni dogovor. Zato vojski za pripravo načrta o razorožitvi ni dodelila dejanskega roka in za izvedbo razorožitve, ki ostaja pogojena z izraelskim spoštovanjem premirja, česar ni pričakovati. Podrobneje sogovorec.
The American paper, after it was ratified by the Lebanese government, immediately became null. So this is when they tried to look for a way to backtrack from it without looking like they were backtracking from it. So the Salam government orchestrated this thing whereby they would have this prior agreement with the army, and they would not set any kind of deadlines for the implementation of the plan. And then then Hezbollah and its ally, Harakat Amal, they would both pretend to be very upset about it, but even though everybody reached an agreement. So basically today the paper is null, it cannot be applied, and the plan is tied. So we're back to the previous stance of Lebanon, whereby disarmament is conditional on Israel abiding by the ceasefire agreement, which it has no intention of doing. So practically, if we want to be very blunt, nothing has happened.
Iz celotne afere glede razorožitve Hezbolaha je jasno razvidna velika vloga pritiskov, ki jih nad Libanonom lahko vršijo ZDA. Kot pojasni Germani, je najvidnejša oblika pritiskov ameriška grožnja, da bodo Izrael spustile z verige in Libanonu ne bodo mogle več zagotavljati varnosti.
The most flagrant one is the threat of military action. One of them is, and it's constant, it is that the United States is threatening Lebanon by that they would like to unleash Israel. And in the sense, I mean, this is also something that was published in a New York Times article the day before the government was supposed to discuss the army's plan. There was an article that was issued by the New York Times where they quote anon. At some point, Tom Barak said that Lebanon has always been part of Syria, and it might be taken again by Syria. That was also a threat, and this is not a threat that Lebanese people take lightly, because Lebanon was placed under a Syrian mandate at the end of the civil war. So between 1991 and 2005, it was backed by the United States as well. So it's not an unlikely scenario.
Poleg direktnih groženj ameriškega hegemona pa je vzvod za pritiskanje na Libanon tudi novopečeno dogovarjanje med Sirijo pod nadzorom Al-Jolanija, Ahmeda Al-Share in Izraelom glede razkosanja Libanona v zameno za priznavo izraelskih okupacij. Podrobneje Germani.
There were also secret negotiations that were taking place between Jolani and Israel. And at multiple times there were discussions that happened that involved taking Lebanese territory. So at some point Israel proposed Jolani a swap between Israel, if Syria recognizes Israel's dominion over the Golan Heights that it has illegally occupied, then Israel would help Jolani take over northern Lebanon, specifically Tripoli, that is a majority Sunni coastal area. So it would be useful to Jolani. And then on the second instance, Syria, in exchange for Syria recognizing Israel's dominion over the Golan Heights. So all of these discussions over territorial acquisition, being occupied again, or like restarting the war with Israel, this is mostly how the US is pressuring Lebanon.
Poleg nasilnih groženj ZDA na Libanon pritiskajo tudi s praznimi obljubami o ogromnih investicijah zalivskih držav v Libanon.
There are other forms of pressure, of course. I mean, it's more of a carrot, if we wish to describe it that way. So they're promising that the Gulf would pour billions of dollars into Lebanon and a lot of money would come into Lebanon. Obviously, none of this has ever materialized, and there is nothing nearly serious in terms of this conversation, but these are just promises that have been, you know, thrown around.
Libanon je tako podvržen kapricam svetovnih in regionalnih silakov, kot zgolj žeton v igri globalne geopolitike. Po mnenju Germanija je del krivde mogoče pripisati notranji politični strukturi Libanona, saj ta onemogoča oblikovanje močnega državnega aparata.
First of all, we need to acknowledge that yes, Lebanon is being used as a chip, but this is mostly Lebanon's fault, because we do not have a strong, powerful state. And this is caused by, you know, all of the sectarian leaders in Lebanon that have compartmentalized the apparatus of the state. This is obviously their responsibility. They have created a weak state that can be pulled and managed by any foreign power as they see fit.
Sogovorec meni, da je, čeprav je načrt o razorožitvi Hezbolaha povzročil buren odziv, prerano, da bi lahko govorili o možnosti nove državljanske vojne v Libanonu. Prav tako izraelska vlada vsaj zaenkrat ni izrazila zanimanja za razširitev vojne v Libanonu in se zdi zadovoljna z neprenehnim obstreljevanjem južne regije države.
I don't think that war is on the table today for many reasons. First, yes, it is true that the US doesn't care how disarmament happens. If absolute chaos is created in Lebanon through a civil war, and this ends up, you know, exhausting Hezbollah or disarming it one way or the other, then all the better for them. They genuinely do not care how this happens. However, all the political forces in Lebanon are not naive at all. They recognize that Hezbollah is, I mean, it came out of the war with Israel weakened, but it is still extremely powerful when compared to any kind of domestic force in Lebanon. If there's a civil war, they could win within a week. Like, this is how powerful they are compared to everybody else. So I don't feel like sectarian infighting is on the table in Lebanon currently. I also don't think that Israel would want us to like escalate the war with Hezbollah currently, at least. I believe they have different priorities. There is talk of restarting another Israeli-Iran war that might be imminent between September until December. And at the same time, Israel is not too bothered by the current state of affairs. They don't mind if they can keep striking Lebanon at will, whenever they want, however they see fit. They're not too bothered by this arrangement. And this is why they're not too keen to reach any kind of diplomatic solution with Lebanon, because the current military reality is very convenient for them.
Pri razorožitvi Hezbolaha je po mnenju sogovorca tudi brezpredmetno govoriti o političnih manevriranih strank, saj so rezultati volitev bolj odvisni od volilnega zakona. Ta političnim strankam omogoča ustvarjanje območij, kjer lahko zagotovijo izvolitev njihovih kandidatov, s čimer se še naprej fragmentira državna oblast.
We have to look at how Lebanese elections are done. I mean, I can currently predict the results of the election based on the electoral law that is subject to extreme forms of gerrymandering. So it's not very difficult to predict the outcome of these elections even before they happen. Lebanese elections are very tailored. They're very controlled by every sectarian faction, not just Hezbollah, because it is a form of, I mean, the whole Lebanese system is based on a fragmentation of power based for each sectarian party, and each sectarian party has multiple controls at the national and local level that guarantees any kind of the results that they seek. I mean, there are currently in parliament, there are MPs that were elected with only a couple hundreds of votes. I mean, this is, you know, it's not even enough to get you a municipal seat anywhere, and still they became MPs because of this, the electoral law.
Za potrebe volilne politike Libanona je tako načrt za razorožitev Hezbolaha možno izkoristiti na mnogo različnih načinov. Ključno pa je, da znotraj libanonskega političnega prostora največje razhajanja ne obstajajo na področju notranje, temveč zunanje politike. Politične stranke se namreč med seboj strinjajo glede problemov notranje politike, jabolko spora pa je predvsem vprašanje oboroženega odpora proti Izraelu, več sogovorec.
It can be used in any way for the electoral campaigns, but it also doesn't matter. I mean, every party in Lebanon, they all, in a way, collaborate on domestic issues. However, they have a disagreement over the armed resistance against Israel. Like, I mean, our disagreements are over practically foreign policy. But effectively, when you're talking about the real issues that affect daily life in Lebanon, and I'm talking about, let's say, internal security, the huge bank collapse in 2019 that Lebanon has still not recovered from, the way in which we govern political representation in Lebanon, the way in which we manage our economy in terms of like public investments, and the vision that we have for Lebanon, none all of these leaders, they are all in agreement over it, including I'm talking about Hezbollah to the extreme right Lebanese forces that are almost for the normalization with Israel. I mean, this is the kind of the political spectrum that we have. And in the domestic field, everybody's in agreement. I have never seen any kind of political proposal or clash over a domestic political proposal. The only clash that has ever been there is over the issue of the armed resistance of Israel.
Načrt za razorožitev Hezbolaha tako na koncu izpade kot velika, ogromna ničla. Kot strah je od znotraj votel, na zunaj pa ga nič ni. Gestikulacija za pomiritev geopolitičnih interesov, ki so preveč zapleteni v lastna nasprotovanja in v sledenje lastne koristi, da bi sploh lahko omogočili predpostavke načrta za razorožitev. Kot vedno, se nikoli nič ne zgodi. Na Godoja razorožitve Hezbolaha je čakala Vida.
Krof. Krof. Krof.